The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
From NBC7, this is Into San Diego, a podcast that goes behind the stories making headlines in our community. In this special edition,
this is Stolen. For more than a year, we've been investigating the complicated issue of the sex trafficking of children here in San Diego County.
Do you think there were a lot of minors out here?
Yeah, just a ton of minors. A ton.
Stolen is a 7-episode documentary series that goes behind the stories of survivors and their traffickers.
You think, well, it's just one time. I just have to do something one time. And then that one time just progresses and progresses.
In this episode, we explain how we found this problem in our local schools and the hurdles we encountered along the way.
This is much more widespread than maybe, you know, what any study could capture.
I'm Monica Dean.
And I'm Tom Jones. Join us as we go into episode 2, The Scope. So in this podcast, we're going to be talking about events that took place in episode 2 of Stolen, our documentary series. So if you're in a position to do so, you may want to watch it. It might provide, you know, greater context for what we're talking about here. So Monica, in episode 2, we start off with a ride-along that we had with a trafficking survivor.
What is it that comes to mind when you're down here? Or what do you think people don't understand about what they can't see?
Well, I don't even think it's so much they can't see it. I think it's just that people aren't recognizing it.
The woman that we were riding with was Jamie Johnson. And can you explain who is Jamie Johnson and how did you meet her?
Yeah, Jamie Johnson is a sex trafficking survivor, now advocate. And I first met her several years ago. I was actually covering a story about the online marketplace for the buying and selling of sex, specifically on Backpage.com. So at that time, this was Jamie's first time speaking on camera about her exploitation. And from the beginning, she just had this impressive strength and confidence about her.
Every minute that goes by that we're not tackling it, and you know, another girl is being found dead, or another girl is being abused, or another girl is getting raped.
It's a brutal reality Jamie Johnson knows firsthand. So when we started working on Stolen, I got in touch with Jamie and I asked her if she would help us tell this larger story about sex trafficking in San Diego, how and where it's happening and what people just aren't understanding about this. And to be honest, this interview almost didn't happen because this is difficult for survivors to relive their trauma again and again. But Jamie graciously agreed to do a ride along with us and show us some of the parts of town that are known for trafficking. We couldn't have imagined what we would see that day. I think we all witnessed something on that ride along that surprised us.
Yeah, I'm going to be on, you know, like I've kind of said before, and it's both a strength and a weakness as a journalist, but I'm very skeptical sometimes. So when we started this issue, I really wanted to find the data, find the facts, find the proof that if this is really a problem happening in San Diego County, we should be able to find it. And it was this day where I kind of had a wake-up call. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But for now, let me set the scene. So I was driving. Our photographer and editor, Elroy Spatcher, was riding shotgun filming. And you and Jamie were in the back seat. And one of the first major points I took away from Jamie's opinion, and you're absolutely right, Jamie is very genuinely honest and sometimes blunt. And that, but we need that when we're talking about this issue, is that if for someone who's been in that position before, we need to hear the truth of what it was like in order to try to fix some of these issues surrounding it.
I mean, this is Hotel Circle, which... It is a tourist spot. It is where people come because there's so many a plethora of hotels, but it's also a lot of exploitation going on. There's a lot of pimping and prostitution going on, a lot of trafficking.
One of the main takeaways I had in the beginning was Jamie's opinion on the hotel industry's role in this problem.
Yeah, it was difficult to listen to her kind of relive some of those things and to just hear her knowledge of the backstory of things that we as, you know, tourists or just people living in San Diego don't really understand or see. And even the hotels know that this is a problem. In fact, now it's the law to provide training for hotel employees on how to spot potential cases of sex trafficking. I think it's also important to point out here that no matter how you feel about the sex trade, research shows that the average age someone is lured into sex trafficking in San Diego is 16 years old. This is an illicit industry that preys on kids.
Right. And that's what we're focused on here, is this sex trade and children getting wrapped up into this sex trade. And as we were going through the hotels, like Hotel Circle, like you said, like there's certain things that when you think of San Diego, you might think of Hotel Circle. Or if you come to San Diego, you might think of Comic-Con. But for Jamie Johnson, when she hears these things, it has a completely different meaning to them.
And honestly, after that day, I will never look at San Diego the same.
I think that it was powerful to be able to come back to those places, as well as work in the same place and do advocacy and really try to create new memories.
So while we're on this ride along, we went around, you know, Hotel Circle, Mission Valley, but then we drove to National City. And specifically in the area of Roosevelt Avenue. And this is where it was a genuinely shocking moment that I don't think will ever leave me.
Yeah, this is where the story really got real. It was super uncomfortable because we were sitting inside the car, pulled over there on Roosevelt Avenue, and these three young women walked by the car. And at that moment, I'm starting to ask a question, and I just feel everyone in the car freeze. And Jamie kind of whispers, "There's a girl right there." And at the same time, our producer, JW, he was following in a car behind us. And we had him set up on a speakerphone inside our car so we could communicate back and forth with him. So he sees the girls coming too. And he says, "Look to your right." And of course, we're all keenly aware of what's happening and just this uncomfortable moment inside the car. And his voice over the phone sort of called attention to it. It only really heightened the tension inside the car. And I think you can see it on all of our faces because we had all these cameras. But I'll tell you, at that moment, I didn't think about any camera in that vehicle. I was just focused on how is Jamie processing the situation, knowing the trauma she suffered. And here are these young girls who are walking by. I mean, I think you can see it on my face in the video. And just the reality of the situation sunk in at that moment that we were witnessing something significant.
She's not even, she cannot be 18.
Hello, look to your right.
Yeah. That's hard. Yeah. You think she looks young?
She's super young.
And we don't want to jump to conclusions here, but
good
just
point.
So that we can kind of explain the situation. We had gone to a street in National City that was known for prostitution. Data and arrest reports showed that.
Well, and Jamie's pointing out that there are trucks parked nearby and sometimes they're customers. And there's these hotels that she knows people work out of.
Right. And then at that moment, we see these young women walk by that looked very young, high school age. And as you mentioned, our producer, J.W. August, was following behind us in his own car and pulled onto the side of the road. And the girls actually approached his vehicle and said, "Hey, man." And he responded saying, "I'm not interested." And they said, "Okay."
"Hey, young black man. Hey. There's three of them now, and they came up to my window."
"I'm not interested."
So, again, the girls were, we didn't have a chance to talk to the girls in that mm-hmm. moment.
So we can't confirm if they were being trafficked, but it sure looked suspicious.
At the very least, we're talking, this was around, you know, 11:30 a.m. noon on a weekday. So these girls looked high school age, yet they weren't in high school. They were in this part of town. And, you know, the other shocking moment was that as this is all playing out, a National City police officer drives by.
They look like they're in high school.
Yeah.
Well, and here's a police patrol car.
And he's not going to stop, I'm sure.
Would there be a reason for him to stop?
I mean, besides the fact that they look about 12 and that they're clear, like, just the fact that he's not trained to even recognize to stop and just have a conversation with them is ridiculous.
We were kind of processing the whole situation, but the police officer kept driving.
And Jamie jumped on that right away and said he keeps going. And I think it was Elroy that asked, well, would he have a reason to stop? And I think she was just calling attention to the fact that we should have people trained in place to recognize potential signs of trafficking and stop and inquire about the situation, even if they don't see criminal activity in progress.
And again, you know, we don't know if that officer was driving to another call. Right. He didn't have lights on, and from staying in there, because you and I had actually gone back to that area to see if we could find these girls. We didn't see them in the days that followed, but we did see that police, you know, it's kind of like a routine, you know, drive through that they often came by every hour or so. Our photographer had come back and also noticed that. And it was more so just, it seemed like he hadn't stopped. Now, we did reach out to National City Police,
yes,
and we asked them about this situation, and they told us, you know, all of our officers are trained. We even have an officer that's dedicated to the San Diego County Human Trafficking Task Force, which I'm sure we're going to get to later on what that task force is, and that the officers are also trained to spot children who are outside of school hours, you know, that aren't on school property. So we don't know what happened in this situation, but still, mm-hmm. It was very real. And for me, it just struck me because, you know, she looked so young. And, you know, personally, I have my sister is in high school. And that's what I saw when I saw her is a girl that is high school age coming out of a hotel and then approaching our vehicle. It really struck me.
Since the start, we really wanted to know, is this an issue that's happening in our schools?
Right. And up until this point, the only evidence that we had of this happening in San Diego schools came from two sources. So, first source was this groundbreaking study released here in San Diego in 2016. And as Monica mentioned before, when it comes to like data or findings of how big this problem is across the country, it's very rare to have those kinds of figures or to have a study like this that was done.
We really wanted to look for some more recent and comprehensive data, and that groundbreaking study shed a light on what was happening here. The second source were anecdotal stories or points we had heard from the county. So let's go over these sources.
So the first source, this study that we were talking about, it was done and it was released in April 2016. And it was done by Drs. Jamie Gates and Amy Carpenter, who worked with University of San Diego, Point Loma Nazarene University, and the Department of Justice. But their sole focus was on the sex trafficking industry here locally. And in their study, they chose 20 schools at random across San Diego. One of the study's authors, Dr. Jamie Gates, had this to say.
And we did a purposeful sample, so we chose some schools up in North County, some in the South Bay, some out in East County, and some in the center part of the city. So we had a distribution geographically.
And out of these 20 schools, 19 reported cases of trafficking in their schools and recruitment of students for sex work. And now everyone's listening right now. I'm sure parents or friends of parents are saying, okay, which 19 schools was that?
Exactly.
But here's the catch. Those schools only agreed to participate in this study if they could remain anonymous. So we had, again, a source of evidence, but we didn't have specifics.
Okay, so the second source of information for us was the county's Child Welfare Services Department, and more specifically, their division that handles trafficking-related cases.
Do you feel like this is happening everywhere in our county?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In the state of California, every county health and human services department has a division that deals with the commercial sexual exploitation of children, or CSEC, as it's known. And in San Diego County, Charisma de los Reyes was leading that division during our investigation.
And so it's a lot more widespread than I think we really do realize because of the internet. So it's not even so much a face-to-face. Majority of the grooming or the beginning of these unhealthy relationships can happen online, and maybe where they don't even meet for months.
From July 2018 to July 2019, the county received more than 1,000 calls into the child abuse hotline reporting commercial sexual exploitation of children. We saw a 700% jump from years prior. But keep in mind here, these reports can range from at-risk kids to confirmed trafficking cases. But if there's a potential trafficking case involving a student in school, CSEC is called to evaluate and investigate. People like Marsha Harrison.
We're trying to provide choices and options for them and empower them to choose where do they want to take their journey next.
And we had a real unexpected moment when we met Marsha. We were touring the iCare Drop-In Center. This is a county resource center for at-risk kids. That center also houses the CSEC response team offices. And Marsha was talking about the kids that she works with and revealed to us that she relates to these kids in part because she herself is a survivor of abuse. It was very emotional. It caught us off guard, and we followed up with a second interview to hear more about her story. Marsha says she shares something special with these kids, and they have softened her heart.
We're not willing to give up, and that's what I see in them. We share hope is what we share, and we share laughter, which people think, you know, you're just sitting around and you're depressed and you're angry or resentful or whatever. No. We laugh and we smile and we hope, and these kids are just, they're so amazing, and they want a different path, and they just don't know how to get there.
I think that was so telling because you guys had gone to tour this iCare drop-in center, you know, just really to get video of this shelter when you met her. And then through your conversation, you realized, oh, wow, here's a person who has a story to tell. And then she agreed to meet with us a second time to go more in depth. And I have so much respect for her and the courage to share her story.
Yeah, she really has suffered so many different types of abuse that uniquely equip her to help these kids in a special way. And, you know, just thinking about this entire project and the people that we met along the way, it would not be what it is. It would not be the tool for the community to understand something that is so complex without the courage of the people like Marsha and other survivors who just bravely put themselves out there to share what they have been through.
So going back to our source of this happening in schools. So as you mentioned, in the last, July 2018 to July 2019, the county saw 1,000 calls in their hotline. And just to point out, I mean, that's on an average 3 calls a day. And not everyone is confirmed trafficking case, but 3 calls a day, that's 3 children a day that were being suspected of being involved in this trafficking. So it was really our mission to get that information from the county, but the county was very hesitant to release it to us. And it was of our opinion that this information was of great public interest and that it was a public record, and that now we weren't asking for specific cases. Obviously, we know that there are minors involved and we wouldn't want to violate anyone's privacy. But what we were asking for were the number of calls per school over the last, I believe we said 5 years, and our request was denied.
Yeah, and I think because we kept hearing from people in the community that thought this was happening somewhere else, we really wanted that proof to show them, no, this is happening in your community.
And so we tried again. We basically wrote them again and explained, look, this is of great public interest. We are hearing that this problem is happening more often, and we feel that the public has a right to know which schools this is happening in. The county was afraid that if they released this information school by school, it could potentially reveal who a victim was or who reported a case happening.
And I know they were very concerned about stigmas too, and kind of categorizing certain schools as having greater problems than others.
Absolutely. But, you know, and in our defense, you know, it's still a public record and the public should have a right to that information. But
yes,
with that aside, we came to a compromise that the county would release these numbers or calls by school district. So in the end, what they released was school districts with 10,000 students or more, the breakdown of calls per year. Districts with less than 10,000 students, that was kind of lumped together. And then another category of private or charter school, no district schools. But either way, whichever school districts you're looking at, the numbers were staggering.
I remember you texted me.
I remember I was driving home on a Friday night when I got this email in, and I looked, and the reason why it was so alarming is that these calls had seen a huge spike in the last, so they only gave us 3 years worth, but in that 3 year period, you saw the calls go from around 50 1 year to 152 the next. So three times the number of calls that were happening, you know, back in 2016, 2017.
And calls from virtually every school district in San Diego County.
Right. Every school district had at least one call, if not more. Obviously, the bigger school districts in San Diego County had more calls. But I guess that was another sign for me on, wow, you know, this here it is, you know, here is the proof that this is happening.
So parents, if you're listening to this, or if you are someone who has a child in your life, really anyone with a child in their life, this is why this subject is so important, because it is happening in nearly every school district. And if we're gonna hope to protect kids from exploitation, we need to be aware of the problem, where it's happening, how it happens, how to spot it, and also how to have a conversation with our kids about this. Because if we can equip kids with the right information, then they can help in being the first line of defense in looking out for one another.
So, you know, we mentioned in that ride along that a police officer had driven by, but we knew that enforcement was happening in the county. And like we had mentioned before, San Diego County actually has its own human trafficking task force. So that was kind of our next step in looking at this problem.
Right. And after a lot of conference calls, emails, and meetings, we were finally given access to really the front seat of that enforcement.
He's in cuffs. I'm going to let him out.
You think people just don't understand this is going on?
People have no idea it's happening in their backyards and everywhere around them.
On the next episode of Into San Diego, we look into enforcement and take you undercover with a sergeant on San Diego's human trafficking task force who shares his up-close view of this problem and some compelling advice to keep kids safe.
Does your child have social media? Because if so, they're being targeted.
If you or someone you know is a victim of human trafficking, call the national hotline. That number is 888-373-7888. Once again, that's 888-373-7888.